Hey friends, we're Pastors Jason and Tiffany Shirley, and we want to thank you for checking out our podcast. Today, we're in a series talking about our core values here at Word of Life.
It's our prayer today that you open your heart and hear what God has to say to you. Let's go to the message.
First of all, I want to know where the saying came from, and I didn't want you to think that we got it wrong. It was on purpose. We didn't just mess up. Why do we say the cross behind us, the world before us? Because it seems so true, the cross before us and the world behind us. See, I believe that two things can be said and both be true. Amen? I believe that when we call on Jesus and we pass from death to life, that we've made a conscious decision to leave behind the way of the world for the way of the Savior. Amen? I believe that that right there is acknowledging the Lordship of Christ. You know, a lot of times we just focus on if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and if you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, that you got to say something, you got to believe something. But what you're saying is you're saying that Jesus is Lord. So when you confess it with your mouth, the power is not in the fact that you're saying words, but the power is in the fact that you're positioning yourself as, I'm not Lord over me anymore. The enemy is not Lord over me anymore. Jesus is Lord over me now. You're confessing his lordship. You're acknowledging his lordship. But we reach a point where we can no longer look at the cross as something to be attained, but we look at the world as our mission because of the cross. Amen? See, when we were lost in sin, when we were in darkness, we were looking to the cross as our symbol of hope. We look to the cross, it's the cross before me, and it's the world behind me. But at some point, we move past the point where the cross was my symbol that I was trying to attain, and now the world in front of me is my mission because of the cross. Amen? See, many times we look at the cross as our symbol of hope, our symbol of freedom, but religious thinking gets stuck in the saying that the cross is before us and the world is behind us. Yes, it is true that the cross was before us and the world was behind us, but now we're called to go to the world. And so I don't want you to get stuck in a religious mindset that I always have to look to the cross. We think of it like this, like I'll never be worthy of his love, and so I've got to look to the cross. Like I'll never attain his holiness, and my offering is as filthy rags, and one day if I'm good enough, I'll limp through those pearly gates, and where I hope to hear the magical words, well done, good and faithful servant. But when I see the cross, I need to see a sacrifice that was meant for me. When I see the cross, yes, it's a powerful symbol of my stance in Christ, but the cross without the resurrection is a flawed theology. Many have died, but only one died in my place. Many have suffered, but only one took on my sin. Many have went to hell, but only one came back with the keys to death, hell, and the grave. See, there's only one that laid in the grave for 3 days, and then the ground began to shake. There was only one that had the angels come and roll the stone away. There was only one that conquered death for my redemption, and there is only one who left the cross and the grave in the dust and walked out of the grave as my victorious king, amen? And that's Jesus Christ. It's the cross of Jesus that is our empowerment to go out and to shake the world. See, the cross is a symbol of what has been, and the world is my promise of what is to come. Amen? Yet culture has painted the cross of Jesus as a symbol of intolerance and hate. Culture has painted the cross as a symbol of exclusivity. The rhetoric of hell is to frame the cross as a symbol that God punishes you, but that's interesting Because in reality, the cross is a symbol that God punished Jesus instead of you. The cross is not the object of my sentence, but it's the power of the cross that brought my freedom, and it's the cross that stands tall behind me as my witness to the world. But if we're instructed in the book of Hebrews chapter 12 to look to Jesus, my question is, why are you looking at the cross? Because Jesus isn't on the cross. Jesus isn't in the grave. See, church, I don't want you to get me wrong today. There's power in the cross, and I'm thankful for the cross. As another song, that another old song, it states that it was at the cross that I first saw the light. It was at the cross that the burden of my heart was rolled away. But then it says something that's very important and very interesting. It says, because it was there by faith that I received my sight. See, at the cross, I first saw the light. At the cross, the burden of my heart rolled away. But it was at the cross that even though I couldn't see yet, by faith, I received my sight. By faith, I received my sight. See, the cross of Jesus gave me eyes for the world that was in front of me. The cross of Jesus opened my eyes to His favor. It was the cross of Jesus that forever changed my vision so that I see the world not as a temptation or as hopeless, but I see it as an opportunity to shine for the one that has shined His light in me. Amen? Yeah. Praise God. See, many of us are looking to the promise of the cross for God to work a miracle, but not seeing the fulfillment of the miracle was the cross. See, it's not that I will be set free, not that the cross will set me free, it's that the cross has set me free. And as a Christian, I'm not looking to the cross, I move forward from the cross with a full, firm assurance of faith that I have been made free, that I've been made righteous, that I don't have chains on me anymore. See, my history has been rewritten. My healing has been attained. And all of this was secured and paid for with the blood of my Savior. See, I don't look to the cross. I move from the cross to the world that once controlled me. I move into that world with my head held high and with power in my voice because I've now got a new way of living. Amen. Praise God. See, as the scripture says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, the old is gone and everything is made new. Church, we aren't waiting for Jesus to come into the world. Jesus already came into the world. And when He ascended into heaven, He told us to go into the world and to carry His message. I'm not shy in saying that we are in revival. You've heard me say it so many times over the last 8 weeks. But I don't want you to blast me on social media, so everybody put your phones away here real quick. I'm just kidding. Don't blast me on social media for saying this. But Jesus isn't leading this revival, we are. It's cute to say, Jesus, take the wheel, right? I mean, I think that was coined by the theologian Carrie Underwood. It's cute to say, Jesus, take the wheel, but He gave the car to us. I don't think you got that. See, sometimes we say, oh, Jesus, take the wheel, Jesus. See, but Jesus gave the car to you. See, if the cross was leading the way, it negates the Great Commission because He told us to go when He ascended into heaven. But He also said something very important that we may miss. He said, I'm not going to leave you without a helper, but I'm going to send the next man up. I'm sending you another just like me to abide in you who was Holy Spirit. See, I don't want you to think I'm being blasphemous today saying we're leading Jesus. That's not what it is at all. Jesus told us which way to go, and then he handed us the keys, and he said, now you go. Now you go. What you have to do is get in the car, start it, press the gas pedal. And then as we're going on that journey, he sent us Holy Spirit that sets in there, that's like our GPS, that says, continue straight another 5 miles, right? In 3 miles, turn right. And the Holy Spirit is leading us and guiding us as we're on this road together. But it's your responsibility when you are instructed by Holy Spirit to turn the car, right? It's your responsibility. See, you can go against your GPS. We have this joke in our house. Because one time we were in El Paso, and I decided I was going to go somewhere without the GPS, because I said these words, I know El Paso. So that's the joke in our family now. No matter where we're at, they're all, oh, Dad knows El Paso. Or Dad knows Lubbock. Or it doesn't matter. Dad knows New York. It doesn't matter where we go, anywhere in the entire world, because of this one time. So I decide to go without the GPS. I don't want it. I know where I'm going. So we go, and I don't know. We had driven maybe 20 minutes, 30 minutes. I had no idea where I was at. No, we could have been in Mexico. I don't know. I do not know where we were at. But I thought, I can get back to where I know, right? It's okay. I don't know, like, where I'm at specifically, but I know I'm in El Paso. And I know that, like, the road that I do know is, like, right there. So we go, and we just keep driving and keep driving. So Tiffany, because she's brilliant and beautiful, is sitting there looking at the GPS the entire time, just watching where we're at. Not saying anything, just letting me do my thing. And finally I'm like, hey, I know where I'm at. And I said, I think we just need to go right over there. And she goes, oh, no, you're like, I don't know, 30 or 40 miles outside of the way right now. So we get back on track. And now it's a joke in my family that they will never let me live down. In fact, Brooklyn texted us the other day about going somewhere in Lubbock. And then Connor chimes in, because he's the most smart aleck of us all. He chimed in and he said, did you ask Dad for directions? Because he knows Lubbock. I'm like, oh, my gosh. These kids have jokes. Jesus said, I'm not going to leave you without a helper. I'm going to send the next man up. I'm sending another that is just like me to abide in you, who is Holy Spirit. And then he said this, oh, and you will be endued with power when Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses. Let me ask you this. What are we witnessing of? What are we witness of? What are we testifying of? Well, let me tell you what I'm testifying of, and I think it may be similar to what you're testifying of. Your story may take a few different turns, but at its core, here's what I'm testifying of. I'm testifying of the day I looked on the cross and I found hope. I'm testifying of the day that I was transformed. See, when you see me, I want you to get this image. When you see me, let me move out of the way real quick so that you can see the cross behind me. Because the me that you see today, the person that you see today, is only because of the cross that is behind me. That's what I'm testifying of. See, the kindness that I have, it wasn't always like that. See, I used to be hurtful in my speech towards others. But let me move out of the way real quick so you can see the cross that's behind me. See, some people may say, well, how do you have so much joy? What am I testifying of? Well, let me move out of the way real quick so that you can see the cross behind me, because I used to be depressed all the time, but it's the cross that made me joyful, and that's what you see today. Amen? We are testifying of the one that has transformed and changed our lives. How can you have peace when the world is such a mess? Well, let me move out of the way real quick so that you can see the cross that's behind me. Amen? Yeah. Praise God. When I was in government, when I was on the city council, I was constantly being called into meetings where a calm perspective was needed. I had a very seasoned government official tell me one time, or ask me, how I am so good at diffusing contentious situations. And it kind of made me chuckle because if you knew who I was, you'd know that I'm kind of a hothead. So how can you be so good at diffusing situations? Let me move out of the way real quick and show you the cross. Let me move out of the way because it's all Jesus. Let me move out of the way real quick because the cross is behind me. Once I looked on the cross and it brought hope and it transformed my life. And then I moved to the world, and now in the world, as he is, so am I in the world. Amen? Praise God. As he is, so are we in the world. See, if we stay in that mindset, Holy Spirit is the helper that is in us, testifying of Jesus. Living from the inside out is a purposeful action. It cannot be passive. Romans chapter 7, verse 22, it says, "For I delight in the law of God according to the inward man." In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16, it says, "Even though my outward man is perishing, my inward man is renewed day by day." I hear many Christians, and I've even said it myself, I just need to get closer to God. I don't want to see a show of hands, but I want you to just ask yourself, have I said that? I just need to get closer to God. I need to focus more on him. See, and while I understand the idea by what you're saying, it's important what we say, and I want to change that idea that's in your soul, in your mind, in your will, in your emotions. See, I don't have to worry about losing focus if I'm not just constantly looking at the cross, because the function of Holy Spirit in me is to testify of the one who sent him. See, the Spirit does the work for us. Holy Spirit is constantly reminding us of our redemption. It's the Spirit bearing witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and the cross of Jesus is no longer external, but the cross of Jesus is internal. Amen? I want to say that again, because I think if you're paying attention, I'm challenging your thinking today. The cross of Jesus needs to become internal and not external. And as we receive his Spirit, Holy Spirit comes and lives on the inside of us and is constantly testifying of Jesus. So it's reminding us of our redemption. Holy Spirit in us is doing the work for us, and so we can focus on the world having the cross behind us and not have to worry about always intently focusing on the cross. Amen? Praise God, because the cross is in us. See, when we're, I think one of the biggest reasons that we think we've lost focus or are far from the cross is because we've gotten caught up in a behavior or an attitude that's not godly. If we want to take away the sugar coating off of that statement, it's because we've given way to sin and we've fallen short of the glory of God. And that's why we think we have to stay focused on the cross. Because if I don't stay focused on the cross, then I'm going to sin. And if I'm going to sin, then I'm going to fall short of the glory of God. And if I fall short of the glory of God, then I'm not going to experience God's blessing in my life. And if I don't experience God's blessing in my life, then God can't use me. And if God can't use me, then I'm not accomplishing his mission and I'm letting God down. We think this, but it's a very flawed thinking. It's a very messed up thinking, because Jesus in you has transformed you already. And when I focus on the world, the cross is constantly being reaffirmed in me through Holy Spirit. Amen? It's like this. When we're looking to the cross for help, when we are trying to fight sin, it's inevitable that you will turn back, because you're trying to fight sin in your strength and not his. I want to say it again. As long as you're looking to the cross for help in trying to fight sin, it's inevitable that you will turn back at some point. See, but when the cross moves from an external view to an internal value, your helper, Holy Spirit, fights temptation on your behalf because the Spirit has become like Christ. Your spirit has become like Christ, and Holy Spirit begins to fight sin for you. See, it's like this. I want you to picture this. I know nobody can relate to this at all except for me, probably in this room. Have you ever had something that you wanted that you couldn't afford? Can everybody relate to that? Can we all relate? Everybody. Have you wanted something that you know you couldn't afford? Now, let me make it a little more personal. Have you ever bought something you couldn't afford? Yeah. Yeah. So it's like this. When you have something that you can't afford, it's like the salesman knocking at your door, selling you something that deep, deep down, you know you can't afford. Let's be real. The Bible says this, that sin is fun for a season. See, I'm telling you this. Maybe I'm planting a seed. A new Can-Am Maverick. You guys know what those are? Can-Am Maverick? It's an off-road vehicle. They're expensive. A new Can-Am Maverick, fully loaded, is a blast until you get the bill. Right? It's a blast until you get the bill. Now, if you could afford it, then it's a blast even when you get the bill. But if you couldn't afford it, it's a blast until you have to write that check at the end of every month, right? Sin may be fun for a season, but my soul can't afford it. So every time the temptation, every time I'm scrolling through and I see ads for those, if I'm just trying to resist the urge to buy it because I know I can't afford it, eventually I'm going to figure out a way that seems to satisfy my urges and it disregards the fact that I can't afford to get it. Now, I may be able to scroll past for a little while. I may be able to resist the text messages for a little while that are tempting me. I may be able to resist the knocking of the salesman for a little while, but eventually there's going to be a deal that I can't refuse, and I'm going to give in. Now, I don't know if anybody can relate to that at all, but I'm telling you that for me, I'm going to find a way that will satisfy the temporary urges. Now, when we're likening that to sin, maybe that temptation comes and you're able to resist for a while, but eventually you're going to find a way. Eventually you're going to give in. Eventually you're going to turn back. And then starts the snowball of sin and shame and despair and the consequences of sin, because the bill's going to come due. Right? The bill's going to come due for sin. Here's what I want to show you today. Every time temptation comes to the door, Holy Spirit in you says, I got it. You just stay on the couch. I got it. See, Holy Spirit in us is in us to constantly testify of Jesus. He is constantly reminding us of our redemption. But not only that, when temptation comes to our door, Holy Spirit is reminding the sin that it was conquered by the grave. Amen? It was conquered by the resurrection. See, the cross is there to bail you out, but Jesus did it once and for all. So if the cross is internal and not external, Holy Spirit is testifying of Him. So when the salesman comes knocking at your door, tempting you to do something that your soul can't afford, then he says, just sit on the couch. I got this one. And he reminds you of your redemption, and he reminds the sin that it has been defeated. Amen? Hallelujah. He does the work for you. Holy Spirit does the work for you. I can tell by your silence that you don't get that today. I'm going to go back to it in a couple weeks, okay? But I want you to understand today, Holy Spirit is doing the work for you. You have conquered sin, and as long as you're trying to fight it in your own strength, you're going to fail. In Romans chapter 8, verse 16, it says, His Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we're children of God. And if children, then heirs. And if heirs of God, then joint heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified together. John says it like this in 1 John 5:5, and I want to read this out of the Amplified Bible today. So jot it down, or I think it's on your notes if you scan the thing. It says, Who is the one that is victorious and overcomes the world? It is the one who believes and recognizes the fact that Jesus is the Son of God. Notice, the one who overcomes the world is you, or more accurately said, Christ in you. This is He who overcame the world through water and blood, His baptism and His death. Jesus Christ, not by the water only, but by the water and the blood, it is in Holy Spirit who testifies, because the Spirit is the truth. He is the essence and the origin of truth itself. For there are three witnesses, the Spirit, the water, and the blood. And these three are in agreement, and their testimony is perfectly consistent. And if we accept as we do the testimony of men, that is, if we are willing to take the sworn statement of fallible humans as evidence, then the testimony of God is greater, or far more authoritative. For this is the testimony of God, that He has testified regarding His Son, that the one who believes in the Son of God has the testimony within himself, because he can speak authoritatively about Christ from his own experiences. And the one who does not believe God in this way has made him out to be a liar, because he has not believed in the evidence that God has given regarding his Son. And the testimony is this: God has given us eternal life. We already possess it. And this life is in his Son, resulting in our spiritual completeness in eternal companionship with him. He who has the Son, by accepting him as Lord and Savior, has the life that is eternal, and he who does not have the Son of God by personal faith does not have the life. See, his Spirit is bearing witness with our spirit that we have the life of God on the inside of us. Amen. And he is conquering for us. No turning back. The old song that we sang at the beginning, I Have Decided, it states this: the world behind me, the cross before me, no turning back. And I understand the context in which it was written, and as we're making a statement that I am choosing to follow Jesus, I'm not going back to the way that I was. 100% true. The problem is this, and I want you to get this today. The problem is that when I trust in my own strength, I'm not strong enough to not turn back. So we can say no turning back and have full intentions, I'm never going back to the way that I was. But I'm not strong enough in my own strength. And so if I'm always looking to the cross, that salesman is always knocking, and eventually I'm going to give in. And when I do, condemnation is going to come on me. But the message of grace is that Jesus did it for us. That Jesus did it for us. And when we call on Him, it's all done. It's all taken care of. I believe that that's why many of our churches, many of us in church, many sitting here today, we're in a perpetual cycle of coming and going. Of coming and going. We're in a perpetual cycle of looking to the cross and turning back and feeling condemned and looking to the cross and then turning back and feeling condemned and feeling shame and looking to the cross until one day we just give up. We just throw up our hands and we say, I can't live a holy life, because we're not understanding what Jesus did for us. See, we go back and forth. We run to God, and then we run back to the addiction, and then we run to God, and then we run back to the bad relationship so that we can feel our comfort, and then we run to God to put the pieces back together when everything fell apart. See, but the cross is the buffer between you and your past. The cross is the buffer between you and your past. See, when the world before you gets dark, when the temptation gets heavy, when the stress gets high, and the escape of the addiction is screaming loudly, when you get that text in the middle of the night that says you up, and you are in fact up, when you begin to turn back, we don't see our old life because your old life is hidden in God with Christ. So if I'm looking to the cross, and the cross has not become internal, the cross is external, and I'm trying to resist the urge of sin on my own, then I turn back. What do I see? The world behind me. Right? You get that today? When I turn around, I see the world behind me. But when I move past the cross and the cross becomes internal in me and I'm looking towards the world, then sin comes and temptation comes. And when I turn around, it's just Holy Spirit testifying of the cross that I see. Amen? The Holy Spirit in me is testifying of the redemption that I have received. When I turn back, I only see the cross, and it reminds me of who I belong to, and I turn right back around, and I head towards the world that is in front of me. Amen? The cross is the buffer between you and your past. It's a reminder that I am free. So, for many of us that think following Jesus and staying on the right path is so hard because the voices are so loud, I want to challenge you with this today. When you begin to see Jesus, you begin to see that those that are for you are far more than those that are against you. Amen? Say this with me. Say, the ones that are for me are more than those that are against me. In 2 Kings chapter 6, we see the king of Syria, who was at war with Israel. He was very angry because every time they went to attack, Israel was ready because they had been warned. So he thought he had a spy in his camp that was going and running to tell Israel what he was getting ready to do. He failed to recognize that God was warning through his prophets. How many know that God is still warning us through prophets? Amen? God is still warning us through prophets. See, the king of Syria, he finds out that it was the prophets that were warning the nation of Israel, specifically the prophet Elisha. And so he goes to kill Elisha. And we pick up the story in 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 13. The king of Syria says this, "Go and see where he, Elisha, is, that I may send and get him." And it was told him, saying, "Well, surely he is in Dothan." Therefore, he sent horses and chariots and a great army there, and they came by night and they surrounded the city. And when his servants of man and God rose and went early and went out, there was an army surrounding the city with horses and chariots. And his servant said to him, "Alas, my master, what shall we do?" And he said, "Do not fear, because those that are with us are more than those that are against us." Verse 17, Elisha prayed something that's very, very important. And it's my prayer for the church today. He said, "Lord, I pray that his eyes be opened that he may see." And then the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. See, my prayer today is that God open our eyes. I don't think that it's a coincidence that there are three separate occasions in Scripture where Jesus healed the blind man. Three separate occasions where Jesus opened up blind eyes. The number three represents the makeup of God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. It also represents the makeup of man, spirit, soul, and body. Paul prayed for the church at Ephesus that the eyes of their understanding be opened. See, I believe there's a powerful message in Jesus healing blind eyes. God, open the eyes of my spirit. This is my prayer today. God, open the eyes of my spirit to see the person that you have made me to be, to see the very nature of you that lives on the inside of me. God, open the eyes of my soul so that my mental and emotional state align with your word and with your will, that I will think soundly and that I will follow truth. God, open the eyes of my flesh to see the world ahead of me the way that you see it, not the one that's filled with hopelessness and pain, not the one that's filled with evil, but God, that I will see with your eyes of faith, to see the world full of the glory of God flowing into every tribe, every nation, and every tongue. God, that I see people that are desperate for a love that I've found, that I don't see enemies, that I don't see sides, but God, that I see precious lives that you gave your son to save. See, it's the cross behind me and it's the world before me. And as you walk into the world, I want you to know that there are more that are with you than those that are against you. See, we see this concept all through Scripture. In Exodus chapter 3, verse 14, God told Moses to go to Pharaoh and to tell him, the great I am has sent you. In Judges chapter 6 and verse 14, God told Gideon to go in the strength that you have. In 1 Samuel 17, verse 45, David told Goliath, you come at me with a sword and a spear, but I come at you with the name of the Lord. In Isaiah 52, 12, it says, the Lord will go before you and stand behind you to protect you. Isaiah 58, verse 8 and 9, your godliness will lead you forward, and the glory of the Lord will protect you from behind. Joshua chapter 1, verse 9, do not be afraid, for the Lord your God is with you everywhere that you go. It's the cross that's our empowerment to reach the world. Church, I believe this, that God is preparing the way for us to accomplish his call in this world. When Moses was at the burning bush, God called him to go into Egypt and to deliver his people. Moses was nervous about saying the wrong thing because he wasn't good at speaking. God reminded him at that moment who made his tongue. Church, I'm here to tell you that no man can tame the tongue, but God can. And so you don't have to be fearful. God will fill your mouth with his goodness. And as you yield your tongue to his spirit, Job chapter 8, verse 21, it says God will fill your mouth with laughter and with shouts of joy. I want to close with this thought from 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter was written in the midst of tremendous persecution of Christians coming from two sides. It seemed that everyone wanted to kill them. The Romans were taking over the known world and they were rooting out Christians. The religious leaders saw followers of Jesus as blasphemers. And those that professed Jesus were aligned with a convicted criminal. Those that said Jesus is Lord were not welcome. I don't want you to get me wrong today. We're not nearly at that level of persecution in our society and our culture today. Not the developed world, at least. But some of that language sounds pretty familiar in current events, doesn't it? Not welcome to say Jesus is Lord. See, in the middle of this social and political climate, Peter writes these very important words. In 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15, he says, "But sanctify the Lord God in your heart, and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you, with meekness and with fear. And having a good conscience, that when they defame you as evildoers, those who revile your good conduct in Christ may be ashamed." Church, we've been called to shake the world. We've been called to systematically destroy a foothold of darkness, to bring the light of Jesus to the world. That's why, at Word of Life, we say the cross behind us and the world before us. Because the cross has empowered us to overcome sin in our life and to reach the world that's in front of us. Amen? Let's pray today. Father, we just thank you for your love and your goodness. God, we thank you for your favor that's on us. God, we thank you that you've empowered us to overcome sin. That it's the cross before us and the world behind us. We thank you that we look to the cross and we received our hope. We look to the cross and we received our freedom. We look to the cross and we received our joy. And now as we enter into the world, we move past the transformative power of the cross to carry that into the world. And then if we have a moment where we begin to doubt, if we have a moment where we begin to stumble, where we have a moment where we begin to turn back, Holy Spirit reminds us of the cross that has changed us. And we're transformed, and we're reminded of our redemption. If you're here today and you haven't received Jesus to be your Lord and Savior, I want to invite you to do that today. The Bible tells us that whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Scripture also says today is the day of salvation, so it's a good day for it. If you've never received Jesus and you want to, I want to lead you in a prayer, and I want to invite everybody that's in here to say it with me today. Say this, say, "Jesus, I believe you're God's Son. I believe you died for me. I believe you rose again. I ask you to come into my life. And I confess you as my Lord. I can't do it on my own. I thank you for loving me and not giving up on me. In Jesus' name, amen."
We want to thank you for joining us today for the Word of Life podcast. If you're in the Carlsbad, New Mexico area, we invite you to join us Sunday mornings at 10 o'clock.
We also invite you to check out our website at wolcarlsbad.com, where you will find resources from Word of Life and a giving link if you would like to contribute. One last thing, if this message blessed your life today, share it with a friend. Have a blessed day, and remember, God is madly in love with you.